September 10, 2021. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means sweating an NFL game. And boy, first game of the season and already a sweat. I had Tampa Bay on the money line. Came down to the last drive, final seconds. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers get it done. But the Cowboys looked a lot better than I think people give them credit for. And I think my one takeaway, my knee-jerk response from that game was the Cowboys as a team are good. The Cowboys as a coaching staff and game management, still not good. So how you take that into the following weeks is beyond me. I'm over here betting second-tier soccer anyways. But it's NFL season, hard to not have some action, and first bet of the season cashes. This week's episode is with Joe Stapleton. Joe Stapleton is a Poker Stars commentator, but is more importantly for this episode and for the movie that comes out today, he was the poker consultant for the movie The Card Counter. Now, those of you who listened last week heard Mark Duvall and I give our preview on The Card Counter and sort of what we felt about it as a movie, what we felt about the gambling. So, you know, that our thoughts are there regarding the movie. But this discussion that I have with Joe is really interesting to learn how he landed this opportunity, sort of how he worked with Paul Schrader and the cast and the crew. And I give him a little hard time on some nitpicky things that Mark and I saw in the movie. Really fun conversation with Joe Stapleton, poker consultant on The Card Counter. Enjoy. Joe Stapleton, poker consultant for The Card Counter. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Timothy? Lawson?
I'm very good. How many of these have you done now since you've started offering your time to people that are curious about your time consulting for The Card Counter?
How many first of all, Focus Feature is the one offering my time up to everybody, not me specifically, but no, I'm happy to do it. Jeez, I'm involved in a movie. I mean, come on. It doesn't really, you know, for somebody in the poker world who, you know, always has big eyes on that mainstream media to be able to be involved in a film. I mean, how lucky is that for me? So as far as number of interviews that have been done, you're only my second official one since Focus. And to be honest, the last one was a much bigger media outlet, and I'm not sure why they gave you an hour and only gave them 15 minutes. Like, I just had to get off the phone with Slash Film for the Bedor podcast. So Gamble Palooza, man, let's go. Let's have a good time.
So, Joey, a rite of passage to this podcast is to tell us about your first exposure to gambling. Do you remember one of your earliest memories to gambling?
I remember my exact earliest memory to gambling. My first exposure to it, I was a child and I was at Saratoga Racetrack. I grew up not far from Saratoga, and that was like it still is a big thing to do in the summertime, like to get the family together and go to the horse races. My opinion on horse racing's changed a little since then. But it's still, I'm not going to lie, when I go home and visit my parents, we still go to the track. Like it's a big day out for us. So
I still know people on the West Coast that will make the trip out east for a weekend at Saratoga.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I just wish the horses didn't die constantly. But other than that, it's a fun day out.
Yeah, I think a lot of us feel the same way. We have this affinity for the sport, but yeah, the byproduct would be good.
Yeah, bring on the digital horse racing. I'm in.
Right. maybe just one big fortune cup, right? We all just get around one big fortune cup machine, right? Like they have the casino. Where you just bet on the mechanical
the
horses.
The first
going
year
around.
I worked in the World Series of Poker, we were desperate. We didn't have any money, so we were desperate for things to do. And one of the casinos had like a random horse racing arcade game that you would sit on and go like this to make your horse go. And we used to go do that. It served as both cheap entertainment and exercise, which we got almost none of that summer. So,
I know you're big into poker. Is there any other kind of gambling you enjoy? Do you find yourself like at a dice table occasionally? Do you still go to? It sounds like you still go to the horse track occasionally. But
I love table games in Vegas. Like you gotta be an absolute psychopath to not like Let It Ride. Right, to not like Pai Gow,
Yes.
Or to not like, what's the one I really love? Crazy Four Poker. So I love those games. I love pushing buttons on a slot machine. Like if I've had a stressful week and I could just sit with a Miller Lite at a bar in Vegas and play video poker for like 3 or 4 hours. That's great with me. I've recently gotten into box breaks, which is definitely a form of gambling. sports cards. I mean, I have got just all kinds of things here. When I feel like I need a fix, I just open up a pack of cards. I mean, do I do any other sorts of gambling? I don't know. But here's the thing I should say, though. It's all really small stakes.
Sure.
I don't like the feeling of losing. Not only the feeling of losing money, just the feeling of losing in general, feeling like a loser. So I tend to gamble very, very small stakes because the winning is what I like. It doesn't really matter the amount.
Sure. Well, now that my audience feels like you're one of us, now that they're like, okay, he's here in our community. Tell us about, like, how does one become a poker consultant on a movie? Like, how did you just stumble into it? Did you hear that they were looking for one? Like, how do you get that gig?
Yeah, without knowing my whole life story, I do poker commentary on TV already.
Right.
And I have for about 10 years. So let's assume that's the given, right? Let's assume that you're the guy that's been doing poker commentary on TV for 10 years. Then what happens? Your very good friend Lauren Mann reads a script by a legendary screenwriter and director named Paul Schrader. And when she's your friend and she reads that and she goes, ding, 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 if I produce this movie, I can bring my boy Joe Stapleton into this. And that's kind of what happened. She sent me the script. I thought I was just doing her a favor and read it and then wrote like 13 pages of very harsh criticism of the poker in it. Just thinking that as a favor to her as a friend, I was like, please don't let them do this. Please don't let them do this. Please don't let them do this. And then turns out I thought she was going to like slowly over the course of production, like wiggle in these notes. Nope. She just clicked forward and sent my 13 pages of harsh notes to legendary writer-director Paul Schrader, whose response wasn't, go F yourself, whose response wasn't, I'm going to end this person. His response was, we got to have this guy on set. And that right on there, Paul's dedication and the rest of the crew's dedication to making this as poker accurate as possible was very clear. I had to have some uncomfortable moments, not so much arguing with Paul, but saying, hey, here's this is what's not going to work about this scene from a poker perspective. And almost every time he listened to me, almost every time, which is really weird, right? Really weird feeling to be like telling this guy what to do. But to his credit, that makes him a better filmmaker because this movie is going to be very authentic.
Yeah. Being a guest co-host that I have, once a month we go over gambling movies or scenes from TV shows that have to do with gambling, and we often pick apart the things that are wrong.
Yeah.
Without not trying to throw Paul Schrader under a bus here, but I am very curious as if you have an example to anything where you're like, that's not going to fly, like the gambling community is going to eat that up, or you know, like if something that you're like, there's like, you can't represent gambling that way because that's just not authentic.
It's been so long since that I don't have, you know, okay. I first read this script in 2019.
Sure.
So specific examples, no, but like there's a line in the movie where Oscar says, I remember you binged a gut shot straight draw against me. And I remember in the original way, I don't remember what it was written as originally, but I remember saying to Oscar when we had that day together, hey, Paul hasn't changed this in the script yet, but whatever's written here is not what a person would say. They would say, you binked a gut shot, or you binked a gut shot straight, if you really want to say it like that. And Oscar made a note right then, and what ended up in the movie was binked a gut shot straight. So it was just stuff like that. It was also sort of constructing the hands in a way that made sense. Paul knew what he wanted to happen in the hand, but he didn't know necessarily a way that a good poker player would play it. And so it was just a lot of tweaking and being like, okay, well, if you want William Tell to be calling this river, and if he really had a hand this strong, he would probably raise. So if you want him just to call, then we got to change the board around a little bit and make it so that, you know, if and when. And a lot of the stuff, a lot of the detail of these hands didn't even make it into the final cut. But they did on set everything. I was like, hey, this is what's going to make this ham more realistic. They listened to everything. So, you know, it was really, we've all seen movies that supposedly had consultants on them. And then you're like, well, what were they doing? And so I definitely had that fear for sure. But as far as like what is there, I think all pretty much works. There's, you know, there's a couple of lines of dialogue that I'm like, nah, it's probably not super realistic. But ultimately, it doesn't matter, right? What matters is that we are this much of the audience, right, and the rest of the world is this much of the audience. So, it you know, telling a good story or something that is more pleasing to the ear of those of us who aren't gamblers, I think obviously is more important.
Now, Joe, it's just you and me here. No one else is listening. tell me, when you saw this, I got an opportunity to screen it a couple weeks ago. So I've okay. seen the, did you, when you saw the final product, was there anything where like, oh snap. Like when you realize like something wasn't right or just something that you remember addressing and didn't quite come out the way.
Yeah. There's one conversation between Tiffany and Oscar that, if I had had a day with Tiffany the same way that I had had with Oscar, that I probably would have tweaked a couple of things or just had a chance to explain to her what the words she was saying meant. Because I don't know if she knew what those things were. And obviously, I think if I had had some time with her, that, and it was really only just one conversation where I'm like, okay, they kind of fumble their way through what really goes on in backing. But yeah, so, but other than that, as far as the actual poker playing is concerned, there was nothing about it that I was like, I'm going to have to talk my way out of that one with the poker community. You know, it's anytime that there is a movie, like, you know, let's say there's a movie like Wolf of Wall Street, right? You think that like stockbrokers didn't watch that movie and going, that's not how it works.
Right.
That's not. And it's just, you know, ultimately what is important and what I'm incredibly, first of all, to say I'm proud of the poker that's in it. I totally stand behind it. But even more so than that is the story, and the characters in this are incredible. And I really hope that people focus on that, because that's really the shining achievement of this movie.
Yeah. I mean, and you bring it up, you know, you brought, that, you know, gamblers are probably only this little bit of the audience that are going in, but as someone who's in the gambling community, you know, that every gambler who watched that, who knew that you were involved in it, was going to come at you the second they saw one thing that would like,
oh, for sure. I mean, if we really want to pick that apart, right. Well, let's talk about the title, right. That's something that's right out there that from yeah. right off the, right at get go, I just said, hey, look, Paul and production, poker players don't count cards. And the number one complaint you're going to get from people is when they see this title and they think that you're making a poker reference, they're going to think. And Paul, very respectfully, it's not like I even asked him to change it, right? Like, right. I don't have that kind of, I wouldn't even do that. I'm just saying this is what's going to hurt your credibility off the bat with poker players. Now, I'll say this. I think that that's the most egregious thing of all of it. You know, if you can get past that, guess what? In this movie, the guy actually plays blackjack and poker. Therefore, the card counter is like not inaccurate. Yeah. And it's a pretty freaking cool name for a movie. So, yeah. You know, that is something that if I didn't know card counting wasn't a part of poker, I'd be like, the card counter, that sounds cool. That sounds like a character that I would want to watch. So, yeah. You know, that elephant in the room is the fight I've been fighting on social media since the trailer came out. Just replying to people with, you know, a movie can be about more than one thing. Band of Brothers was neither about a band nor actual brothers. Like sometimes there's just, you know, sometimes the title, like they say, don't judge a book by its cover. Like that's quite not even a cover. That's just like the 3-word title. Like at least look at the rest of the cover.
Right. Did you, so you said you didn't get a chance to work with Tiffany Haddish as much as you'd like, or it just sounds like maybe you didn't get a chance to really work directly.
Not ahead of time. Now, the reason for this is this movie's an indie movie, right? So these actors were sort of squeezing it in to other incredibly busy schedules. So Oscar happened to have a free day, and I literally flew to New York. I flew to New York and met with Oscar at night, and then did a stand-up set at night, and then flew back to LA the next morning. So I tried to make it as worthwhile as I could. But Tiffany, I remember, just didn't have the same gaps in her schedule. And then also, I was, because my friend was there, I was welcome to be in Biloxi while they were shooting for more than just when I was working on it. But unfortunately, my schedule was actually kind of tight, and I was just able to be there basically for the days they shot the poker scenes. So if there wasn't poker in the scene, I wasn't there. Right. So, you know, there was, and not that I should have been, by the way, I'm not suggesting that by any means, but sometimes there might have, I was really only focused on, okay, let's get these poker scene right. And then there's a couple of references to poker stuff that I wasn't present for. And so maybe I would have just, you know, taken, like, you know, Tiffany aside and been like, hey, actually, this, like, this is probably more, because that's what Paul wanted me to do when I was on set. Yeah. When Tiffany was on set, you know, I just said, hey, Paul, like, this line here is still, like, kind of a little off. Do you mind if I just talk to Tiffany and here's what the change I want to make to it. Is that okay? And he was like, yeah, go ahead, go talk, you know, go do your thing. But even still, you know, as especially my first time doing this, even when the director gives you his blessing to go do that, and you're like, hi, Miss Haddish. So I know you've probably been, like, learning your lines for a long time, but it turns out, like, this is not what it is, and I'm going to have to – is it okay? And so, you know, it's just sort of – and you almost feel – for me, I love being there so much, right? Like, I really – I love movies, and what I'm doing now on television is, you know, is great, but – you know, everyone's got their, who comes to LA has their movie dreams. And so I almost didn't speak up some of the time because I had to, like, keep my own, like, you know, it's like voting for yourself, right? I was like, yeah. If I decide I need to, do I really need to go talk to Tiffany, or am I trying to go talk? I don't want to be the guy, right, that's trying to go talk to Tiffany. And so, you know, if anything, I sort of erred on the side of caution in a lot of places. I didn't want everyone to hate me. Right. I don't want to nitpick every little thing and everybody hate me. And to be perfectly honest, everyone had my back super hard during this production. Not just Paul. The actors were super interested. They listened. The production designers were super interested and listened. The props department, even the director of photography is this legendary already, even though he's super young, director of photography named Alexander Dinan. He was super on board and asking me questions. It was really, really cool how reverent they were over me and what I was doing there. And even after the fact, like, people have from the production have stopped me to say thank you so much. But people have been like, hey, man, like, just want to let you know how much we appreciate your presence and you being able to add so much to this film, which is really cool to be recognized in that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, so then... first, you mentioned props. How much did you get to contribute to maybe table layouts, maybe even just how the I know, like, you were in Biloxi, you used some of the casino spots there, so there's already some infrastructure built in, but how much do you get to contribute to maybe player positioning at the table, anything having to do that wasn't just dialogue and fact about the game, but maybe about how it was viewed aesthetically?
Yeah, so basically what I did was when this movie was in pre-production, many different departments got in touch with me for different reasons. And when they did, I would just say to them, here are some big errors other movies have made. Please don't do this. So as far as props were concerned, two of the biggest props in the movie are poker chips. And I sent them lots and lots of pictures of poker chips that their chip should not look like. Because that's always, like, a weird giveaway in these movies. You're watching, like, a million-dollar budget movie, and they're playing with Target chips in a casino, and you're like, what? Come on. Yeah. So, but as you know, those chips that are using casinos aren't cheap.
Right.
Like, they're not cheap. Like, some of them are $5 each. And now you're talking about a 30-table, 300-person poker scene. They could not afford to buy that quality of chips for every single seat at that table. Like, that, you know, we were talking about a chipset that costs tens of thousands of dollars. you know, when a casino buys them. So we were constantly shuffling chips from what tables were in frame and what tables weren't. I'm like running back and forth and being like, okay, we can see this table now. Okay, we got to get some chips over here. There was a lot of me taking pictures on my cell phone for continuity's sake to remember where things were, how many chips people had. Decks of cards were another thing that I kind of showed them what the real World Series of Poker decks look like, and they had some made up. Unfortunately, the ones that were made up were not super durable, and all the background actors kept bending them. And I had to constantly make announcements, please don't bend the cards, please don't. You know, because, you know, if there's a card bent in a casino, that card's out of there. It's not, you know, that's the sort of authenticity they're looking for, is to not have target chips and jagged playing cards. So, you know, that was a part of it. As far as like sort of what things look like on the sidelines of these poker tournaments, their production designers were, you know, I sent them a lot of photos, and, you know, they. That part, you know, I didn't really direct them or anything, but I came in and I was like, you guys, like, this is believable to me. This, you know, when they're walking down that hallway and they're the different vendors or whatever, like, that's believable to me that that's what a circuit event would look like in the run-up. So, yeah, I mean, from script to pre-production, I put them in touch with all these poker companies. They got the tables from BBO Tables, and they got stuff from Poker Stars, and they got stuff from Poker Night in America, and they got stuff from Run Good, because they wanted the people to look like poker players would look. Paul is a poker fan, and so he wore a backwards Poker Stars hat on set all day, every day, and was genuinely bummed when he lost it. Like, was like, yo, I need another one of those Poker Stars hats. He wanted the people in the hoodies and the sunglasses and the patches and the everything. So, and the poker community, cool as it is, I just basically got in touch with everybody I knew who had stuff. Poker News, D&B Publishing, you know, the guys that put out all the strategy books. And everybody was very happy to be involved in this and sent their stuff out there.
So you get to be on set, you work with Oscar Isaac, you're being modest but still asserting yourself where you think things need to happen. You go through all of this, and then at the end it actually turns into something and you get to see it, and now you know that your friends in the coming week are going to go to the theater and they're going to sit back and they're going to I mean, how does it feel to know that not only were you like, have you fully grasped and processed the fact that you just finished working on a project done by Paul Schrader and that it's about to hit the screen with your influence?
Yeah, not really, because I'm so neurotic that I always am just thinking about the next task I have to complete and never really enjoying. However, they just did the U.S. premiere of this on Sunday in Telluride, the Telluride Film Festival. And every year there's a surprise premiere, and this was it this year. And they invited me. So I will say, for the like 36 hours I was in Telluride, I was there for so short of a time, and it takes about 12 hours to get there. Right. So I really had some moment. Maybe it was the lack of oxygen. Maybe it was the altitude. But maybe it was the hashtag legalize it. I don't know. But I really had some time to be like, this is friggin' cool. Like, yeah. This is really, really cool to be in this idyllic place where there are so many creative and talented people here. And they're coming to see this movie. And the movie was packed. And the movie got a round of applause afterward. And to sit there and be able to bask in it was really, really cool. And I did take that minute. But right now, all I'm thinking about is I'm talking to you right now. Tomorrow I'm flying to Philly to do two screenings with a Q&A afterward with a bunch of poker fans. Poker Stars Pennsylvania put together a really cool promotion. Yeah. And was like, hey, like, we couldn't get Paul Schrader or Oscar Isaac or Tiffany Haddish, but how about the poker consultant Joe Stapleton? Which, by the way, would be a terrible setup if it weren't poker fans who probably know me from poker stuff anyway.
Right.
So it's not a total wash for them. But yeah, so then I've got that. And then, as you said, on Friday, me and my friend Lauren, who I mentioned a bunch of times, we bought like 100 tickets to a screening in L.A. And we're just inviting all of my poker friends and my regular friends. And I feel like that moment's going to be a pretty cool moment. Did you see me in the movie, Timothy? I'm in it.
I did not. I do apologize that I cannot recall where you are in it.
In the very first scene where Tiffany is like watching a poker tournament and then comes over and sits with Oscar, I am the player who finishes heads up to Mr. USA. Sorry, finishes runner up to Mr. USA in that scene. But that's good that you didn't see me. You know why? Because the number one thing I was trying to do during that scene was not get noticed.
Right.
I was like, please just don't do anything where Paul has to be like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? So I'm just my premiere is a little understated.
Sure. I don't know if maybe you've already answered this with something else you've mentioned, but can you recall maybe a particularly challenging aspect of like communicating something to either cast or crew? Like, can you remember, do you remember anything about the poker, the gambling, the casino, any part of it where you're like, man, I don't think they're quite understanding what I'm trying to get across to
them.
Yeah,
that happened a few times, but the good news was that it wasn't from a place of obstinance or from lack of desire, but Paul is an artist and had bigger things to think about, right? As I think the only places where I'm speaking about this as what my role was in this movie, but ultimately I'm well aware this is not my movie, right? So when I say, hey, Paul, like I told you a few times about this one thing that kind of bugs me, and he's like, that's not important. And he's right. It's not important. So that happened very infrequently. But what happened is because Paul is, his vision is sort of scatterbrained in a lot of ways, that sometimes I would tell him stuff and he would ignore it, but not intentionally. It was just that he had a million other things going on. And so some stuff slipped through that don't live up to my standards, but like really it was relatively little. And I was really, the movie's great. Like it's a really great movie. So even if there had been a lot of other stuff that would have made me look bad, I don't really care because the movie is great.
Yeah. I can, in my head, I picture you being like, Paul, just on that last poker scene, we're about to do a torture scene. We're going to need you to step. Like,
I'm not
interested in the poker stuff right now.
Like Oscar's like smoldering, like tears in his eyes. I'm like, oh, hey, you sort of string bet there. Do you think you could? Do you think, by the way, there are no string bets in this movie, but I'm just saying that, that's the kind of thing we're dealing with here.
Are you comfortable? So me and my friend Mark, who both have screened the movie, we each noticed one thing that we were like, oh, I'm not sure if that's quite right.
Go ahead.
Okay. I feel kind of like a dick being like, I know you worked super hard on this, but let me tell you the one little thing.
It's okay. I'll just go. Yeah, that there's probably a better way to say that is all I'll say.
The one thing that I noticed, there was a mention to Pi Gal Poker. And yep. Oscar Isaac says it has an 11% house edge.
I have no idea. I might have looked that up at the time.
I think that's right.
It seems lower than 11% if you play it right, but I'm not sure. Wait, hold on. With the commission, maybe it is though. I don't know. Yeah, that's not something that I waited in on at all.
I'm not looking for. I'm just being a jerk.
No, it's fine. Believe me, when I watched the movie 2 nights ago, I was like, I wonder if it really is 11%, and I wonder if that's something that I should have chimed in on, but I didn't.
And the thing my friend Mark noticed is when he's recalling a poker, he's recalling that one poker hand to another character. He says that there was a check and then a raise, and we believe that the correct order would be check and then a bet, right? Because you raise a bet, not a
yes.
But as I say this, you are definitely. I was like, yeah, he's gonna hang up the phone call as soon as I bring
this
up.
No, that's fine. Look, that's fine. I think that that is something that's gonna like raise the hairs of a lot of poker players. I don't know if it went check bet and in editing somehow we ended up with check raise.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I don't, and I'll say this, having watched the movie twice, I didn't notice that.
Right.
And also what I will contend is this. One of the big things I said to Paul was this guy, even if he says things that irk gamblers or irk me, he still might say that as him. People do tell hand history is wrong.
Right.
People do use the wrong terminology sometimes because that's the way they say it.
Right.
So that doesn't, you know, that ultimately was like, and what we're talking about here, right, is we're not talking about Ike Haxton or Fedor Holtz or Ali Imrizovic telling a hand history here. We're talking about ex-convict, former felon, PTSD war veteran slash hero slash villain who could very well speak this way. I don't, you know, that ultimately the character is a good poker player, and not every good poker player is as into the minutia of how to break down a hand history as everybody else is. But yes, yes, you are correct. It would, strictly speaking, it wouldn't go check and then a raise.
Sure.
Unless we're talking about a check raise situation, which I don't remember off my.
So I only bother bringing up those two things for two reasons, and I hope you understand. One, I'm actually trying to show at how little we noticed, right?
Great, sure.
Right, like that's part of what I'm. It sounds like nitpicking, and it kind of is, only for the sake that there was no glaring mistake, right? Like, we watched the movie, and him and I have watched name every gambling movie you can think of, and we have found errors in plenty of them. And like I said, even most gamblers aren't going to know about the 11%. And like you said, most people aren't going to listen to the poker dialogue and be like, is that the big point of that is we didn't notice any glaring errors, which I think is a huge, speaks a lot to the contributions that you may have made. And let's be honest, I'm never going to get to talk to someone who's a part of making a movie and tell them the couple mistakes that I found in.
It's pretty safe. Pretty safe that Joe Stapleton is not going to jump down your throat. I'll figure out a way, just like we did, to wiggle my way out of it. And also to make, you know, good eye. I'm glad that it's just those two things, right? Because I can explain those away relatively easily. Not the percentage one, but certainly, you know, like, yeah, maybe that's just how the dude tells the story.
Joe, I really appreciate your time, man. How I just said that I don't get an opportunity to talk to people a part of a film about what I noticed in it. My listeners don't get to hear from the creators of all these movies and TV shows that they've enjoyed that have to do with gambling, right? We don't get to hear from the creators of Mississippi Grind or California Split or, you know, Rounders, stuff like that. So when this opportunity came about, I was really excited to not only hear about your contribution, but let my audience hear someone who was on set who actually, because that's something a lot of us gamblers wish we could do more, is be a part of influence what we see, how we see gambling represented on the big screen, right? So I do appreciate your time. I know you're at Stapes, right? Is it plural with the Stapes, I believe?
At Stapes on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm at InstaStapes.
At InstaStapes. Was Stapes already taken, or you were just being clever and decided to add the Insta?
No, Stapes was taken. Stapes is almost always taken immediately by some, I don't know who, but it's not the like least popular nickname in the world, and I got very lucky to get Stapes after the fact. Like, someone had it, it was like dormant, where they were like squatting it, and through a connection I had, he snaked Stapes away from that person. It was one of the happiest days of my life, which is really strange, right? Like, where are my bleeping priorities? That my blue check mark. I was like, hey.
So where does Stapes' Twitter handle and blue check mark rank in comparison to contributing to the card counter? Which one are you a little bit more excited about?
I mean, what have you done for me lately? Am I right? It's got to be the card counter.
That's right.
If not, I would have got it after this, surely.
Right. Very good. Joe, thank you so much for your time, man. I do appreciate it.
A pleasure. Excuse me. Can I get my outline? Just a professional broadcaster. It was a pleasure. A pleasure talking to you, Timothy. A pleasure. I've been very pleased.
Very good. Thanks, Joe.
Hey, big thanks again to Joe Stapleton for joining me. One of the more unique interviews I think I've got an opportunity to do. And it may be a long time before I get that opportunity again. So I appreciate, shout out to everybody that made this happen. Brigade Marketing for connecting us. Joe for taking the time. Focus, what was it? Focus Feature, I think, is the... the organization that put out the film and helped a lot with this. So big thanks to everybody involved in making that interview happen. I really enjoyed it. Coming up, couple poker. See, I got poker on the brain now. Talking for a half hour about poker. Couple gambling trips coming up. First of all, October 2nd to October 8th, I will be in Las Vegas, Nevada for the Global Gaming Expo. Now, the Global Gaming Expo is only the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. I take off on the 8th, but I'm getting in on the 2nd. I will be staying at the Plaza for a few days before moving over to Aria during G2E. So I will be downtown 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and I will have some time in the second half of the 2nd, most of the 4th, and some of the, most of the 3rd, and some of the 4th to hang out with anybody that's around. Once G2E starts, it technically starts on the 4th, I'm really not getting involved until the 5th, but once G2E starts, that's where my mind will be focused. I'm sure I'll spend maybe an hour or two each day, maybe, doing some playing or something else to sort of decompress from the day. But otherwise, my hard focus is going to be on covering G2E and the things captured there. Then, in November, I shared this with my Patreon subscribers. Shout out to my Patreon supporters. Sometime in November, I'm going to do a day meetup at a local East Coast casino. Nothing formal. Just, hey, I'm going to be here for practically the whole day. Come hang out. Let's gamble. Let's do whatever we may do. And right now the front runner is Rocky Gap Casino. That is currently the front runner. Unless I get a strong calling, I'm not doing AC. That's a little too far for me for the purpose of this. I think it's something short drive from where I'm at. Rocky Gap is currently the front runner. If you're interested, send me a DM. If you have a strong consideration in somewhere else, we're talking like Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, that area. Not necessarily going all the way up to like AC or otherwise. But if you have another casino you want considered, or Rocky Gap sounds fun, you're interested, shoot me a DM so I can keep you looped in on how that shakes out. And it'll be fun. Looking forward to it. Patreon.com/thebetterlife is where you can go to support the show with a monthly pledge. And every day, Monday through Friday, I post a little Patreon short, side bets we call them over there, call them little side bets, and I explain why in this week's audio. But this week's subject was player rewards cards, or programs, I should say, players rewards programs. And I essentially went through all of the programs that I was most interested in or already involved in and sort of did an evaluation of where I was in the program and sort of where the next step was and if I thought it was worth pursuing that. And today's example was Club One, the players program at the D, Golden Gate, and Circa. Friday, September 10.
I want to take a moment here before I get into today. Tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of the attack on September 11, 2001. 20th anniversary. And it feels especially important after we've now just wrapped up a 20-year war in Afghanistan. I implore you to, think about what that means and sort of the crazy roller coaster that America has been with terrorism and national security and war, taking back those veterans that went over there and trying to take care of them, and what does that look like? And it's it's been quite an experience for everybody, whether you're someone who was there personally, whether it was in New York or DC, or you maybe knew someone who was on Flight 93 that crashed in Pennsylvania, or you're someone who was in or knows someone who was in Iraq or Afghanistan. We know Iraq didn't really, it wasn't necessarily about the attacks of September 11, but it definitely seemed like one of the things that helped get us there. September 11 really sort of the crack, if you will, really reached into a lot of different people's lives in different ways. A lot of people that have, their careers are based off of national security and stuff like that stemmed from what happened that day, right? So it's pretty For a tragic day, it really created a lot of different circumstances around America, both in industry and how we view foreign affairs, just everything. So I shouldn't go on too much longer, but it's a pretty big day. I would just ask that you spend just a moment or two tomorrow just remembering how significant that is, not just where you were that day, but maybe looking back on it, how is your life different because of what happened that day? So and of course, big thanks to anybody who's a first responder or a military veteran or to someone who a civil servant who otherwise whose life was impacted from that day. Today, we're going to talk about Club One out of the Stevens properties, the D, Golden Gate, Circa. Now, this one's interesting, right, because these are the only three properties in which this Players Club exists. I can't use this anywhere else in the world. I'm unsure if Circa Sports connects to it. I don't think it does, but I may be wrong. But I don't have access to Circa Sports at the moment anyway, so that doesn't matter for my sake. Again, one of the reasons why I'm doing this is because this is the on paper list of benefits that the casino is saying, we will give you this. This is something you do get if you play with us underneath this program, right? When it comes to free play given, when it comes to comp nights, right? We all know that has to do with daily theoretical play, based on play, stuff like that. It's not easy for everybody to figure that out. It's not always, when you're sitting there playing, you don't really know, unless you're working with a host, like, I don't know really how much more to play here if I want to have a comps room the next time I come through here, right? And it's different from casino to casino, program to program, region to region, whatever. What's interesting about this is you can look on paper, on a list of benefits, be like, here's what the casino is saying they're going to give me, or they're going to offer me. These are the benefits that I get for being a part of their program and achieving these statuses. Club One has three. So of the set that I've been doing, this is the smallest, like the least amount of tier. They have three tier levels: Gambler, Maverick, and Legend. So not only do they only have three, but they have the coolest names for their tiers. And I love that the first one is Gambler, because let's be honest, that's where it all begins. You're a gambler. Looking down, and now these pretty much, all these, I think, go for, I think, all three properties, unless it says otherwise. I'm a gambler level here, right? I'm, especially with a couple years of not, I've played at Golden Gates, here and there, but nothing really that's going to get me any sort of extra action. As far as it goes to casino benefits, there's no difference between Gambler and Maverick. It's not until you get to Legend, where I guess you get a VIP line for the sports book. But otherwise, when it comes to casino benefits underneath this, everybody pretty much gets the same. Hotel benefits is where things start picking up a little bit. When you get into the second tier, room upgrade, complimentary early check-in and late check-out, VIP check-in line. Those are pretty standard for that. Complimentary self-parking. But otherwise, I mean, this is this has to be probably the most standard and predictable. That's probably predictable is probably the best way of putting it. List of benefits, and I actually kind of appreciate that. There's nothing here like the complimentary trip to Wynn or a cruise or there's really nothing here that isn't just based on, like, that isn't just focused inside the property itself or the other properties, and like the standard, like, hey, obviously you're going to get more points and slot pay and stuff like this the more you play. That's obvious. If you play a little bit more with us, we'll give you the late check-ins, the room upgrades, stuff like that. That's pretty standard. Priority reservations for dining benefits, right? Like, that's standard. Complimentary parking and then the limousine service at the highest level. Like, that's really all standard. So what I really like about this is, even though there's really nothing here that pops, right? There's nothing here like, oh man, there's the value. There's that, like, that I can't, like, that's something worth trying to get. I like that if you are someone who's going to Vegas 3-4 times a year, and you were spending time downtown and you were spending time inside the Stevens properties, you are getting sort of what is standard, what is sort of expected at like the things that you would just expect casinos to do for you. The check-ins, the priority lines and reservations, the complimentary this and that. Very predictable, very standard, very straightforward. There's nothing here that makes me think, the thing about the Stevens properties, and I think they know this, and I think it's one of the reasons, I would imagine it's one of the reasons why this is very standard and predictable, is I'm going there because I like playing there. I'm not going there for any other frills, for any other, they know they're downtown. They know that they are, Circa obviously is the gem of downtown right now. They know that if you're spending time downtown, because it's because you're that kind of person, you're not the strip person necessarily, you're spending enough time downtown to be into this rewards program because you are a downtown kind of person, which means you just need straightforward stuff. And they are getting that here. So, nothing here to make me think I need to spend any more time gambling than I normally do. But it is nice to know that if I were to, exceed or get across a couple thresholds, what I would expect to get back from the casino, not only going to expect to get it back just through front end comp stuff like that. It's written in plain sight written plainly here. You're going to get it. So, shout out to Club One for a very straightforward rewards program. Okay, I'm still deciding what I'm going to do next week. I'm torn between doing a few more of these, but I don't want to burn myself on the rewards programs thing. So I may say that for another week. But I'm going to figure out but I will be back Monday. Hope everybody is doing well. Good luck with all your bets this weekend. Good luck if you head to the casino. And I'll see you on Monday. Thank you so much for all your support. Again, big thanks to everybody who supports me there on Patreon. I really appreciate it. I mean, the support and just it's just encouraging, right? I mean, that's, those Patreon pledges, serve as encouragement as much as anything. So, appreciate all of that. Tip your dealers shirts are still in pre-order. I'm putting in the final order to be printed, over the weekend. So they should be, at the printers early next week. You can go to bettermerch.com, BETTOR merch.com. We got shirts for the Better Life. We have Tip Your Dealers shirts that are on pre-order. Do Better Masks and a couple of other things in there. The Struggle's Real video poker shirts. So, it's another way you can support the show and wear some better merch inside the casino for those of you that, like to wear thematic things in the things that you do. Here's some gambling-related items you can wear inside the casino. Next week, Mark Duvall and I will reconvene for a better viewing episode. We're going to slowly cover the show Luck, which was an HBO show that lasted 9 episodes in one season. A couple horses died, and so it got canceled, never saw a second season. However, it is gambling related, and people, we have our feelings about the horse industry. That notwithstanding, thought it was important to cover the show that a few people had requested and that Mark and I were interested in seeing. So, the first 2 episodes is what we're going to cover. You can find it on HBO Max. We're going to go for the first 2 episodes, and then we'll probably leapfrog a little bit. We'll probably do Luck one better viewing episode, and then the following better viewing episode, do something else, and then come back with a couple episodes of Luck. So that way we get through it sort of in a timely manner without making it 5-6 consecutive episodes. That's it. That'll do it for this week. I hope everybody enjoyed my discussion with Joe Stapleton. Again, thanks everybody who helped get that put together. And good luck with all your bets. The NFL's back. College football's back. And the USL is profitable as ever. All right. On behalf of Joe Stapleton, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night. Good luck.